S-R-N.
Foulest stenches in the air, the funk of 40,000 years, and grisly goons from every tomb are closing in to seal your doom. And though you fight to stay alive, your body starts to shiver, for no mere mortal can resist the evil.
Ma, the meatloaf! Fuck!
It's not a tumor. It's not a tumor.
You ever danced with the devil in the pale moonlight?
I am not Mr. Lebowski. You're Mr. Lebowski. I'm the dude.
That guy in Little Coat.
Who told you can eat my cookies?
Man, you are one pathetic loser.
You're in big trouble, though, pal. I eat pieces of shit like you for breakfast.
You eat pieces of shit for breakfast?
No.
That's what I love about these high school girls. I get older, they stay the same age.
Hello? Hello? Anybody home? Hey, think with fly, think.
You are now listening to Cinema Crespo-Diso.
Ah, there you go. Brand new show intro number 4. I'm going to get it right one of these days. I'm going to get it right soon enough. This is your host, Christopher Crespo. How's it going? Welcome to episode 42 of Cinema Crespo Diso. So trying to figure out that whole show intro thing. The music's pretty good.
Show intro needs work.
Yes, it does. How's it going, Drew?
It's going.
That's Drew Secogran, the co-host of Cinema Crespo Diso, the one and only Drew Secogran. You can follow him on Twitter at antihero419. Follow me on Twitter at I am Chris Crespo, and we're just hanging out. It's a beautiful autumnal Sunday afternoon, and
it's so nice outside,
and we're ready to talk shit about some movies. A lot of shit to talk about, but first, I want to do a plug up front. This is the Halloween episode. Happy Halloween, everyone.
Ooh.
Halloween 2013.
Spooky.
So when you're listening to this in a few weeks from now, I hope you enjoyed your Halloween, but for us, it's still in the future at this present moment. We're going to be at the SBK Live Halloween Bash coming up on Halloween night at the Why Not Lounge in Altamont Springs. We're going to be there all night in our crazy movie-related costuming getup. So people definitely got to check that out. Come out and hang out with us. For details on that, you can go to sbkliveradio.com. All sorts of tidbits there. You ready for that party, Drew?
Oh, I'm totally ready.
Looking forward to it. Hope to see you all there. And just wanted to get that done up front. Plug that shit. Right?
Right.
New segment, plug that shit. It's pretty gross. Well, let's get into the show. We got a lot to talk about. We gotta do the box office recap, got a couple movies to review, talk about new movies coming out on DVD, new movies come out in the theaters. Got the Crespo Disco, Halloween themed sort of. And, of course, the Crespo Dome, movie news, questions, so much stuff to do. But before we do any of that, as always, Drew, what do we do?
Box office movie breakdown.
Oh, my God, Drew. It's time for the Netflix Instant Pick of the Week.
Ah.
Oh, my God. That's co-producer Drew Secogran.
I'm out of it today, man.
With the Randomizer 9000. He's out of it, but get into it. You got, what do you got there? Monster Energy drink this week? No Orangina vodka? No Vodka Gina?
No Vodka Gina. Not this time.
No vodka Gina this time.
No, still orange flavored, though.
Still orange flavored, though. Drew likes that orange flavored.
It's so, good stuff.
Every week we do our Netflix Instant Pick of the Week. We take something out of the randomizer 9000. Drew verifies that it's still on there because sometimes they take him off. Sometimes he has quizzical looks on his face like, what the hell am I looking at? And, like, right now he has one of these. What's the face all about, Drew? What's going on with the Netflix Instant Pick of the Week? Is it not on there?
That one's not there anymore.
Oh, it's not on there. What was it?
Popeye.
Oh, Popeye. Yeah, Popeye hasn't been on there in a while, I guess, unfortunately. Robert Altman's Popeye with Robin Williams. What a weird...
It's a very, very strange movie.
What a weird movie. But that's why we verify. We don't want to give you people a bum pick. We do our best to keep these up to date. So Drew's giving us the nod. So what's this week's Netflix and
one of your favorites and mine, Commando.
Oh, hit my face right on the microphone. That's what happens when you drink in podcasts. Commando. Bloody fantastic.
Literally, both. Both of those things. Bloody fantastic.
Love Commando. Love it so much. Arnold Schwarzenegger at his best. It's movie starts with him cutting down a tree and carrying pretty much the entire thing on his shoulder. And then his daughter, played by Alyssa Milano, attacks him. And then there's a montage of them playing with deer and getting ice cream and being very... father daughterly, and then she gets kidnapped almost immediately. Within 5 minutes of the movie starting, she gets kidnapped, and the rest of the movie is him trying to get the daughter back. His character's name is John Matrix.
What a terrible name.
What a terrible, awesome 80s action name that is. John Matrix. And it's a Schwarzenegger, so he's John Matrix. I am John Matrix. There's an awesome scene where he breaks into a gun store to get a bunch of guns, and the best part is when he shows up at the giant mansion at the end of the movie on the island, and he kills by himself about, I don't know, like 100 people.
Sweet.
It's pretty awesome. Fun fact, the mansion in the movie that has like the final shootout where the main bad guy's at, same mansion used in Beverly Hills Cop in the first one where they have the final shootout in that movie. Same mansion.
Nice.
So there you go. So Commando! Good pick. I think that's better than Popeye. That works out.
Totally.
All right. Cool. So there you go. Time for the box office review. Drew, you got the numbers from the old box office mojo.
Oh, yes, sir. All right.
So what do we got? What do we got here for the weekend before Halloween?
Starting off at number five this week.
Woo, number five.
Claudia with a Chance of Meatballs 2. Had a weekend gross of $6.1 million.
Yeah.
Total gross of 100.6.
Making that money.
Budget of 78.
There you go. Claudia with a Chance of Meatballs. All right. Trying to keep that hype man going.
It's weird.
What, Claudia with a Chance of Meatballs or the Hype Man?
Both.
Box Office Hype Man.
Box Office Hype Man is strange.
I mean, until we can hire someone to be the third guy sitting here just to do the Hype Man stuff.
Woo!
Yeah, stuff like that.
I'm going to see Ric Flair. I'm sure we can borrow him. He's right down the street.
Yeah, right. So Claudia with a Chance at $100 million. Not bad. Not a bad take. Not as much as I'm sure they were hoping. The first one made more money than this. So don't expect a third one anytime soon. Still haven't seen it. Have you seen it, Drew?
Nope.
No, we haven't seen it, but we will eventually. Redbox. Let's go to the number four movie.
Number four movie this week, we have The Counselor that had a weekend gross of $8 million. Same as a total on a budget of 25.
All right, financially speaking, that's disappointing. $8 million, you would think with this kind of cast, that would make, they were probably hoping for closer to $20 million.
And with the marketing.
And with the marketing. The marketing was everywhere, so they were definitely pushing for a nice $20 million opening weekend, because it is an R-rated movie.
Yep.
So, you know, it's not like they're thinking it's going to make $100 million opening weekend. But $8 million is not good. That's not good. Part of the reason why it made $8 million opening weekend may be because the movie itself isn't that good.
That could be one of the reasons, yeah.
It could be one of the reasons. We saw this.
Yes, we did. Saw it this morning.
Pretty fresh in our minds. So, Drew, why don't you kick it off? What did you think of Cormac McCarthy and Ridley Scott's The Counselor?
I don't know. It was strange. You could tell that this wasn't adapted from a book. Like, for some reason, I don't know. It just a lot of the dialogue seemed forced.
Right.
And it wasn't written the way people actually talk. You know? It was written more...
stylistically.
Yeah. As if you were reading it.
Yeah.
But
there are times where I felt like if I was reading this, it would make more sense.
Yeah.
If I had a chance to read what they were saying instead of them rattling the stuff off. I'm like, what did they say? Yeah. Yeah, it is kind
of thick. Because a lot of this stuff is very deep and philosophical and, you know, speaking in metaphors.
The movie's not so much about the plot of, like, the overall plot is like the lawyer gets into a drug business.
Yeah.
And it goes wrong.
Go figure.
But it doesn't, but that's not really what the movie's about then.
No, and you see, it's the same thing, like, I mean, with Cormac McCarthy's, with the last movie that was of his that was a death, No Country for Old Men.
Yeah.
Everyone was like, Josh Brolin, Josh Brolin. It's like, no, the movie's about Tommy Lee Jones.
Yeah,
the same thing in this movie. You're pushed this whole counselor thing. And the movie's not really about him.
Not just him. It's about all these people.
Yeah,
it's an ensemble.
But even so,
it's more of an ensemble than the
There's only one character that we really follow all the way through, from like the beginning of the movie to the very end.
Yeah, well, no, I think including the counselor is two characters that gets the full.
Well,
I don't know, to the end of it. Depends. You talking about to the end of the movie or to the end of the characters?
Yeah,
their plot,
to their demise,
their arc. Spoiler: people die in this movie.
Lots of people die.
What a surprise! What a shock! It is quite violent.
It is.
At times, kind of like alarmingly so.
Horrifically violent.
Which is kind of interesting. Kind of fun to watch.
There's lots of wire violence.
Wire violence.
Yeah. And not like television's The Wire, like actual violence with just wire.
Yes.
Like that is the main weapon.
Yeah. Creepy.
Yeah.
McCarthy is a weird guy.
He is.
He's a weird guy. He did that whole thing with the cattle bolt thing through the head.
Oh, that was so much. Oh,
now
man.
He's doing a wire death.
I was almost hoping for that to make like an appearance in Grand Theft Auto.
Oh yeah, that'd be cool.
Dunk.
But nope.
But no.
So yeah, it's you know what it felt like to me? Like there were scenes deleted, there were things missing because the overall story didn't make the most sense.
Oh man, is this gonna be one of those like Kingdom of Heaven things where like
so.
We're gonna have to wait for DVD to come out and then we watch the version of the movie that we were supposed to see and be like, oh, now
so.
It makes sense.
I haven't heard or read anything about fighting about a cut or
anything like that.
Alternate cuts, no. I'm pretty sure this is what they wanted to put out there.
Yeah.
They went for kind of oblique and arty and maybe it was just a little too much. You know, I mean, I appreciated what they were trying to do and where it was going. I found some of it very interesting.
Yeah.
A lot of people say this movie is boring. I can see why they would say it's boring, but I didn't find it boring.
I didn't find it boring at all.
But the way it slowed down at times and the conversations in different scenes,
yeah.
I felt like I can see why people would see this and be disappointed in the way it's made. But it's kind of arty and weird
to be
a mainstream thriller.
And but, that's totally what they're booking it as.
But it's an arty mainstream thriller.
Yeah, made by Ridley Scott and Cormac McCarthy.
It was weird with awkward references to fish sucking on aquarium glass.
Yeah. you know, seriously, my imagination is just strange enough
and
to
that
be
got
able,
a lot of that got a lot of laughs in the
like,
theater.
I can close my eyes and totally see what he's thinking.
That joke went over in that theater.
Yeah.
Man, I don't know. It's disappointing.
It was. I was really hoping for a much better movie.
Definitely hoping for a much better movie. Maybe watching it again in the future on DVD, see some more things that make more sense. Maybe more things will jump out at me as why it didn't really click, why it didn't work.
It was nice to see some of the cameos in there, like John Leguizamo at the end.
Yeah, see,
that
felt
was weird.
Like, yeah, I felt like all that stuff that should have been connected to something else
somehow.
That felt like that was never touched upon or resolved. It was just a side thing, but
yeah,
it was still
it was
the
like,
main thrust.
This is Chicago,
but it was the main. I don't know. It was disappointing. So I would say, unfortunately, it's a red boxer.
Totally.
Yeah.
Don't rush out to see it. I mean, yeah, Ridley Scott, Michael Fassbender,
great
Brad
acting.
Pitt.
All the actors are great.
Yeah.
All the actors are great. It was fun watching all of them. I enjoyed some of the dialogue and the conversations and the style of the movie and what they were doing and some of the soundtrack and all that. But it just overall just doesn't work.
Shame too, as we're looking forward to this one.
Exasperating.
Yeah.
Oh well. Well, there you go. The Counselor.
Anyway, number three this week we have Captain Phillips. Had a weekend gross $11.8 million. Total gross is 70.74 on a budget of 55.
Captain Phillips, the first Avenger.
Really, Tom Hanks is an Avenger now?
He should be.
Should he?
No.
What's his superpower? How's he going to save the world against
being extremely
aliens from another dimension?
Being extremely charming in a low-key way. His low-key charisma just disarms everyone.
You know, you are totally right.
Yeah, he just walks in, he's affable, and he's like, yeah. He's doing that smiling thing, and he's shaking his
head. And then he pulls out a gun and shoots you in the face.
Oh. Hold on.
I would love to see Tom Hanks in an action role. That'd be strange.
Like Road to Perdition. That was his one time where he was playing sort of a bad guy, a bad-ish guy. He wasn't the bad guy, yeah. But he wasn't a good guy in Road to Perdition. And he did kill people.
Yes, he did.
He did some murdering with Tommy guns and stuff.
I want him full-on crazy action movie. Like
maybe he's a little too old
John
now
McClane
for that.
Style.
Maybe 10 years ago should have been the time.
Nope. Right now.
Captain Phillips says, nah, it's not very action-y. He doesn't do much action.
No. I'm about to say, there is some action, but it doesn't involve him.
No. He's just stuck in the middle. Yeah, I would be down for seeing Tom Hanks doing something like that. With Tom Cruise.
Hanks.
Cruise. then, I don't know. Big 2. It'll be, what they'll do is they'll make Big 2, all right? The kid from Big, he's just like 1 year older. And he's with a friend at a carnival, another carnival, but the same Zoltan machine shows up.
And
he's
like, hey, I've got an idea.
It's like, hey, we both want to be big. And then the next day they're big, and it's Tom Hanks and who's the other guy?
Tom Cruise. But Tom Cruise obviously doesn't grow that much.
Yeah, the joke is his friend is bigger. He's like, because he's already 5 foot whatever. And then when they grow up, they find out Tom Cruise, his character never grew up anymore.
Yeah.
So like that, now he's a short guy, so they'll play off Tom Cruise's shortness. They'll be the first movie to play off his shortness. And then it'll somehow turn into an action movie where for them to find a new Zoltar machine, it'll be like Mission Impossible type deal. So it's Hanks, Cruise, and it's like all this action, and it turns into Big 2.
I like it, Chris.
Big 2 at the beginning.
Speaking of 2, number 2 this week, we have Gravity. Had a weekend gross of $20.3 million. Total gross of $199.8 on a budget of 100.
Made another $114 million internationally, so we're at $314 million worldwide for Gravity. Woo!
Nice!
Hot damn, that's a lot of money.
Go Alphonse Cuarón.
Good for them. It's a great movie. It deserves it. It deserves a critical acclaim as well as the commercial rewards.
Agreed.
So, yeah, I mean, it's just good. It's nice to see a nice original, well-made movie. Make a lot of money.
Yeah, and do well.
And everyone like it.
Yeah.
Very cool.
Hopefully this will give Mr. Cuarón the carte blanche to do whatever the hell he wants with a bunch of money.
It should. His next thing, yeah, whatever he wants to make next, it should be like, here you go. What's this, the fourth week it's out now?
Yeah.
Man. $20 million in its fourth week. That's Titanic type shit.
Yeah.
Like, that's how Titanic made so much money, because that movie made like $20 million like 8-10 weeks in a row. You know, this one's going to start dropping now, obviously, under 20, but... That's great. That's great for them. Great for Gravity. Good job. Love that movie. Maybe I'll go see it again before it's out of theaters.
Maybe in 3D this time.
Maybe in... I already saw it in 3D. I'll check it out in 2D.
I did not.
So there you go. Oh, but it didn't make number one. What happened? What's the number one movie this week?
Number one movie this week is Jackass Presents Bad Grandpa that had a weekend gross of $32 million. Sam's a total on a budget of 15.
You know, it's going to be really, really annoying. Let me just... get this out of the way. You know, it's going to be really annoying, and you're going to hear it guaranteed. You're going to see it on the news and in the headlines online, and you'll hear it on the radio. Stupid radio people will be saying shit like this. Stuff along the lines of Bad Grandpa knocks off Gravity from the number one spot. Like, oh, the movie to finally, quote, beat Gravity is Bad Grandpa, you know? They'll try to spin it that way.
Yeah.
As if the box office top five is some sort of competition. And as if, you know, it's like apples to oranges. People had these two movies, and America chose Bad Grandpa over Gravity.
Ooh, yeah, no.
Like it's a barometer of some sort.
When Gravity starts winning Oscars, and Jackass is obviously not nominated for anything.
Even then, you know, well, they could be nominated for makeup. That's some damn good makeup they got on Johnny Knoxville.
It was okay.
It was good, man. I thought it was pretty good. Pretty good makeup. But yeah, people are going to be doing that. You're going to hear it this week, guaranteed. Or you've already heard that. So just know, when you hear that, when you hear people doing that shit, know that they're stupid. And you're smarter than them for recognizing their stupidity. So go ahead and feel superior, as you should.
Awesome.
Into the movie itself, we saw Jackass Presents Bad Grandpa. And, well, Drew, why don't you get us started? What'd you think of the old Bad Grandpa?
I mean, it's another Jackass movie.
Muy malo, abuelo.
A little bit less violence towards Mr. Knoxville this time.
Yeah.
It's more playing a prank on the people around to get their reaction.
Right, so it's more about, yeah, it's about getting people's reactions to their craziness.
But, I mean, on the whole, I don't think it was their best effort.
Yeah, it was okay. I felt like...
I might have only laughed out loud twice, and they were both parts that I already knew were coming because they were in the previews.
I didn't laugh out loud at the stuff I knew that was coming. There were a couple times when I did, like, laugh out loud. I was smiling a lot. There was one moment where I was like, that's really funny. I can't remember what it was off the top of my head.
Obviously, it wasn't that funny. I would have remembered.
I do know that it's cliche to say this, but... all the big jokes and the good moments and all that given away in the trailer.
Yeah, all of them.
You know, which is like, come on,
all
guys.
The good ones.
Yeah, it's ridiculous. They could have saved something.
I mean, they saved some stuff, obviously. That was
they could have saved
trailer,
something.
But for the most part, the really really good stuff, all in trailers. Those were the high points.
Yeah, that shit slays me. It makes me upset when marketing just gives it away.
Yeah,
because we've seen the trailer so many goddamn times too. So
no, exactly. I mean, at this point in time, I'm like, we were talking about going into Bad Grandpa. You know, I'm glad that it's finally Bad Grandpa and the Counselor time because that means I don't have to watch any more Bad Grandpa and Counselor trailers.
Yeah, finally know those trailers. Thank God.
Yeah,
get some new trailers to annoy us for the next couple months. Yeah, so, you know what, I did feel like watching this movie in a theater. I felt like I was watching something made for television.
Almost.
You know, like, this yeah. is, like, this should be on TV. Like, I could watch this on, is there MTV still? Is that still a thing?
What?
I guess so, it's MTV
Jones. The Jackass?
No, MTV in general. Like,
yeah,
as a channel with stuff on it.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Other than, stuff about pregnant teenagers.
No, I mean, nothing, it's still all, just nothing but that.
Well, yeah, felt like it belonged there instead of in a theater. The kid was funny. The kid
Agreed.
Was awesome.
Yeah.
You know, I only saw it once. Could you see the little thing in his ear?
Yeah.
I only saw it once.
It was during the...
they were in the car.
Yeah, they were in the car, and he turned his head just a little bit, and I was like, oh, there's the earpiece.
Like, there it is, because I was looking for it, and they hit it really well. But one time I saw the earpiece where they were feeding him his dialogue, and that kid was good. Kid was good, and it was all about the reactions.
Yeah.
And then, of course, probably the best part's during the credits.
Yeah.
When they show, like, revealing to everyone that they're making a movie, and... There's only a handful of people in there were blurred out.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
You know, most people, a couple people at the fake funeral were blurred out. They're like, how dare you?
And there were a couple of scenes where I'm sure if someone hadn't said, hey, listen, we're making a movie, things could have gone horribly wrong.
Yeah. I felt like many times, like what we were watching, we saw them all the way up until the point when producers stepped in and be like, well, this is a movie.
Yeah, exactly.
You, sir, stop calling the police. You, ma'am, don't shotgun this guy's face off.
Exactly.
You know?
Yeah.
We're making a film here. But hey, it worked. It worked for them. Those, you know, they don't make movies. It's not like that's a ubiquitous genre of film. There's Borat, there's Bruno, there's this.
And so the Jackass guys are Sacha Baron Cohen?
There you go. There you go. Not exactly a thriving genre. Although, money-wise, Jackass, all these movies, you know...
They double their money, at least.
Yeah, they do. Almost... They between double and triple their money. The first Jackass had a $22 million opening weekend and ended up making $64. The second one had a $29 million opening weekend and ended up making $72. And then the third one had a $50 million opening weekend and made $117 million.
Well, that's just because of the 3D.
It was a 3D and it was a third one. And, you know, people were, for whatever reason, were into Jackass at that moment. I remember that being a surprise. When it had that opening weekend and those numbers, people were like kind of surprised by that. And that's why they were able to make Bad Grandpa. And at $15 million budget, $32 million opening weekend, it's going to make like 70, 80 million bucks. They're good to go.
Oh, yeah, totally.
Tack on another 20, 25 million international. It's at 100 overall.
Johnny Knoxville getting paid so much money for hurting himself and being stupid.
And being stupid in front of people.
Yeah.
So there you go. Bad Grandpa defeats Gravity and knocks it off the top spot to be the number one movie of the weekend. Woe is America. Woe is us for such a travesty.
It's terrible.
Because that's a thing.
It's terrible.
People report on box office numbers as if it's a competition.
It is.
It is. Art.
Art is a competition. My art is better than yours.
That's why there are awards and such for verification purposes.
Yes.
That's why I have a mantle of awards.
I am the most creative person, not you.
My creativity is more awesome than your creativity.
It is.
Take that, America. Yeah. All right, so there you go. That's your box office review. And let's get into the new movies coming out this week. New movies on DVD and in theaters. We need a little like song intros for each.
We should start making them.
We should start making.
Oh, well, get in the production department to start making them.
We should get the production department to start making. We need one for a box office review. Yeah. Like, box office review of the weekend. Ooh, ooh. Oh, that's a good one. Box office review. All right, well, new movies on DVD this week. We got Monsters University.
Never saw the first. Monsters, Inc. or care to watch this one.
Monsters, Inc. is okay, but yeah, I didn't really care to see it. Prequel about these characters in the college. Like, ugh. Really?
Yeah, really.
R.I.P.D. Remember that one?
Yes. Oh, God, what a stinker.
That was a stinker is the word, for sure. A stinker is right. That movie, screw that movie. It stinks. Don't even bother watching, people. Unless you really, 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 really like Ryan Reynolds and Jeff Bridges, in which case, still don't bother. Byzantium from the director of Interview with a Vampire.
Interview with a Vampire?
Neil Jordan, Irish fellow. This is his second vampire film called Byzantium.
Interesting.
It's about a couple of vampire chicks moving to a hotel.
Sweet.
And shit goes down.
I like vampire chicks.
In hotels.
I don't know about that.
And there you go. So that's pretty much all your new DVDs this week. What's coming out in theaters? We got a bunch of stuff.
Coming out in theaters this week, Ender's Game.
Ender's Game.
Based on the acclaimed sci-fi book.
By acclaimed and well-known bigot Orson Scott Card.
Yes, sir. Something like that.
It's supposed to be... Well, it is a very, very good book.
It's
a really good story. Let's see how they translate it. It is directed by the guy who did X-Men Origins Wolverine, so...
Oh, so, so terrible.
So here we go. What else is coming out?
Also coming out... Last Vegas.
Last Vegas.
With Robert De Niro, Donald Douglas, Woo! Morgan Freeman, Kevin Kline.
Yeah!
Directed by John Turteltaub.
Oh, Turteltaub. The director of National Treasures 1 and 2.
The Turts.
That's actually the only made two National Treasure movies. But he directed those films and another piece of crap.
I don't know. Those National Treasure movies weren't... No, yeah, they were. They were terrible.
All right, so there we go. At Last Vegas. Are we going to see that?
I
don't know.
Looking at what else is coming out, we might as well. Are we going to see Ender's Game to see if the CG is any good?
We're definitely
going
to go see Ender's Game. I want to see how closely they stick to that story.
Yeah. Also coming out that weekend, Free Birds.
That animated film about turkeys.
Yes.
Okay.
With Woody Harrelson and Owen Wilson.
Does it say, is it DreamWorks that does it? Does it say there? Any idea?
Blah, blah, blah. Hang on. Let me click on some links here and see what happens.
I got to click on links to find that. Doesn't just say straight up DreamWorks or who else makes them? Sony Animation makes them.
Director Jimmy Aardman. Hayward.
Would it be
cast?
We all know it's not Pixar.
It doesn't have.
All right.
Nope. Official Facebook, official site. Real FX.
What the hell is that?
I don't know. It's Real FX, so maybe it's Fox?
Maybe. All right, well, Free Birds, that looks like a hunk. And well,
and Relativity Media. Also coming out that weekend, About Time.
About Time? About Time's coming out.
Stupid time-traveling kid who falls in love, crawls into closets, and wishes he was places.
It looks like a Nicholas Sparks book, but with time travel.
Yes, it does.
We're definitely not seeing that.
No. No, we are not.
Also coming out?
Also coming out, Dallas Buyers Club with Matthew McConaughey.
That's going to be more of a... That's a limited release, so I don't know if we'll get that one this weekend. That'll probably take a few weeks to get here. But that movie is one of these ones where right now it's more well known for McConaughey losing a ton of weight.
Yeah.
Like an insane amount of weight where he just looks very ill.
Super skinny.
Which is the point.
Yep. He's
supposed to look very sick. Is that it? I think that's it, right?
Yeah, that's it.
So we'll definitely see Ender's Game. I guess maybe Las Vegas. It depends. It's 12 Years a Slave falling and open up here. We'll find out.
Oh, I can't wait.
We'll find out soon. That's going to be a super downer.
That movie's making no money whatsoever.
It's making some money. 12 Years? It's in the top 10. It's like number 8, and it's only in like 100-something screens.
Yeah.
So that's decent money for a movie like that, for what's being called the Schindler's List of slavery movies.
Sweet.
Yeah, like how about that sell? Oh my good.
I love it.
But still,
I can't wait to see it.
Yeah, I'm kind of looking forward to seeing it.
You and your homie Chiwetel.
Chiwetel Ejiofor, man, dirty pretty things, people. Look at that movie. That's a great film. It's good stuff. All right, so here we go. Let's get into the, let's take a break. Crespo Disco, I need a new beer. Drew needs another Monster Energy drink because we got a lot to do in the Crespo Dome. You ready for this, Drew?
Born ready.
You're born ready? Are you ready? All right, well, let's set this up here because I got a couple songs. One of them, you've actually helped produce the show a little bit, even though you did it weeks ago.
Sweet.
You said for the Halloween show, we have to have a thriller-type opening.
Yep, we did.
Which we did. And for the Crespo Disco, we had to play Ray Parker Jr.'s Ain't Afraid No Ghost.
Yes.
So here we go from the Ghostbusters soundtrack, Ain't Afraid No Ghost, followed up with the choice bit from the Dread soundtrack.
Nice.
So here we go, guys. Enjoy these songs. We'll be right back with the second half, episode 42, Cinema Crespo Disco. Cinema. Crespo. Diso. Cinema. Crespo. Diso. Thank you very much.
Welcome to the Crespo Dome.
Welcome back to the second half. Well, welcome to the second half. I do that a lot, actually. I realize I do that.
Yeah, every time.
Not every time. Every time?
Almost.
Should we redo this part? Should we start over?
Yeah, screw it.
We never started over anything.
Never. Keep going.
Might have started over one time. Welcome to the second half of episode 42 of Cinema Crespo Diso. It is me, Christopher Crespo, with Drew Sir Cogburn. Drew!
What up?
Let's get the rest of them plugs out of the way. We already talked about this week live. Halloween Bash. The Halloweeny Bash. The
Halloweeny Bash.
The Halloweeny Bash. The Halloweeny Roast. Well, have you heard of the Halloweeny Roast? There's all across the country a bunch of rock radio stations do the Halloweeny Roast. And it's, you know, it's like Earth Day birthday type of deal. A bunch of bad bands get together and play a show. And
awesome.
Sponsored by a radio station.
Sounds fantastic. We're kind of doing the same thing.
Sort of.
Except we have a good band, and we're sponsored by a podcast.
And there's not going to be any hot dogs.
There might be.
No Halloweenies.
There might be Halloweenies.
There might be Halloweenies. Drew's going to go ahead and put that out there. If there are no Halloweenies,
I don't know what the menu is like at the Why Not.
You assume that
there is food available.
You assume there's going to be Halloweenies available?
Maybe. Perhaps.
Make sure you come out to Halloween Bash and find out if there are Halloweenies available on Twitter. My Twitter is at IamChrisCrespo. Drew is
at Antihero419, same on Instagram.
And you can get the show on Facebook.com/CinemaCrespoDiso and Instagram.com/CinemaCrespoDiso. And of course, you can download us on iTunes, Stitcher, AirCheck US, and naturally at ChrisCrespo.com. Yes, ChrisCrespo.com. Go there for reviews. Go there for reviews of. What do I got there? I got Gravity.
Gravity!
Captain Phillips.
Captain Phillips!
I'm going to have a counselor review up there where I thank you. I appreciate it, Drew. Where I try to.
The counselor!
I try to figure out what went wrong with the counselor. Things like that. Netflix picks of the week. Things of that nature. Past Netflix picks of the weeks. I don't know how to pluralize that.
Picks of the week?
But there's multiple weeks.
Pick of the weeks? No, picks of the week.
Picks of the week. Past picks of the week.
Yes.
Well, there you go. ChrisCrespo.com for all of that, and there we go. Plugs out of the way. Plug that shit. Plugs. Cinema Crespo Diso. Get it at them plugs. Trying to figure out the... We gotta get the theme songs going, man, for all the little, you know?
Yeah, I feel ya.
All right, let's start with Drew Sir Cogburn's review of Beasts of the Southern Wild.
Yeah, saw that for the first time.
Saw it for the first time this week on the old Divid.
Yes.
Tell people what you thought about the little movie.
It was pretty good. It was as you most eloquently put it, it's like Where the Wild Things Are meets Hurricane Katrina.
Right.
And that's pretty much. I mean, that's where you sum it up. I mean, minus you know the kid actually interacting with these giant monsters. There's this kind of an illusion of these monsters that are out there, but they're just pigs with fur coats on.
Giant pigs. Yeah, just giant boars.
No, they're not even boars. Those tusks are part of the part of the cause. They're just pigs.
Well, they're oroxes.
They're supposed to be old timey boars.
Old timey giant boars,
but they're not. They're just pigs.
Big shot with the forest perspective.
Uh huh. Correct.
So what'd you think of the movie? Did you enjoy it? It's what are your impressions?
I mean, it was all right. It wasn't bad. Yeah. It was what it was.
The director was nominated for Best Director for that movie.
I mean, I guess. And he was I like, guess maybe his, I can see like why. It was kind of dreamy. You could tell. I mean, you could tell there was a fresh perspective there.
Yeah.
I don't know. Some of the story looked like it was just kind of mishmashed. Like there was definitely like cuts in the story where it's just kind of like this is happening now, this is happening, and now this is happening. How'd you get from here to here?
Kind of episodic, you mean? Like, yeah,
a little bit.
Okay.
I mean, all in all, it was good. It's just about a bunch of poor drunks living in
Delta Basin,
post Katrina
that area. Is?
Yeah, exactly. In a post Katrina wasteland,
some town called Bathtub.
Yeah.
Bathtub. It's kind of hard to say.
They were all very, very poor, very uneducated, and very drunk.
most of the time.
So you thought it was okay.
It was okay.
It didn't blow you away.
No, it definitely didn't
suck you in. You weren't enraptured by it.
It definitely didn't live up to the hype that I remember there being for the movie.
There was a lot of hype around it.
Yeah.
What did you think of Kovanje Wallace?
She wasn't bad for a little kid.
Being 6 years old.
Yeah.
For her first thing. She's in 12 Years a Slave.
Awesome.
Yeah, I think it's a small part, but she's in it. And her name's Kovanje. I think that's how you pronounce it.
Kovanje and Chiwetel.
Man. In the same movie.
I thought so.
Alright, so that's Drew Cogburn's review of Beasts of the Southern Wild. Thank you, Drew. Appreciate it.
You're
welcome,
sir.
Appreciate it as well. Let's get into some movie news here. I got a couple of stories. Three stories, actually. So let's see. Let's start with... Which one do I want to start with? Let's start with the longest one. Variety is reporting Netflix to expand into original movies will double spending on originals in 2014. So we know now, we already know Netflix is doing TV, shows, series with House of Cards, Orange is the New Black, stuff like that.
Still haven't watched that.
Right? Yeah, I haven't watched it either. But they're getting into the movie making business as well. So let's
interesting.
See. So we got here. Netflix. Pleased with how the original series.
Manageable vegetable.
Unique New York. Netflix. Pleased with how original series like Orange is the New Black and House of Cards are boosting its business. Expects to double its investment in original content in 2014. And it's putting movies into the pipeline. Netflix CEO Reed Hastings said he's hopeful that the company will land deals with Comcast and other pay TV providers to widen the distribution of the service, which now has 31.1 million U.S. customers.
Really?
They just announced this number, 31.1 million subscribers in the U.S. That's more than HBO subscribers. So put that into perspective. It's not on any of these TV providers, but they have more subscribers than TV cable networks.
Yeah.
The company is looking at expanding into movies and is currently actively looking at several documentaries that would premiere on Netflix. Chief Content Officer said on the company's third quarter earnings call. And what this article fails to mention, Netflix has kind of done this before. They had a production shingle called like Red Envelope Productions, and they released a small handful of movies like 06, 07.
Were they any good?
I think a couple of them were okay. Documentaries, again.
Yeah.
Those are the cheapest ways to invest into movies. If you see it as an investment, which it's not, because it's art.
Yeah.
But it is what it is.
Well, I've invested in art before.
People have. I have.
I mean,
I'm
literally staring at art investments on my wall.
Literally, absolutely. But Netflix, they tried this, and then that Red Envelope, they had to shut it down because it wasn't working. But that was years ago. Now they got more money. They're ready to dump that money into it. Overall, Netflix's spending on original content will still represent less than 10% of their overall global content spending. That's compared to HBO. 40% of their expenses goes towards original content.
Interesting.
So HBO put a lot of money. Oh, shit.
Here we go.
Oh, shit. Here we go.
I like how you took it out of your shirt pocket.
Yeah, I had to, for safekeeping. I had to keep it away from you, man. There's no.
I'm gonna find it one of these days.
No shenanigans here. Oh, now you're not.
One of these days, I'm gonna find it, and I'm gonna blow you out of the water with my with my amazing movie knowledge. You're gonna be like, "How did you know that?"
"What, dude?" I'm gonna have to start leaving around dummy copies of fake games, and then have the real game somewhere else.
And until the day you forget where the real game is, we end up playing one of the dummy games
with all the wrong answers. And oh boy. This week's Drew Cogburn vs. the World, obviously we have no guests, so just a sparring round, no pressure, Drew. Which made more? Halloween edition.
Sweet.
Excuse me, Halloween-y edition.
I
actually wrote that down.
Really stupid, edition. By the way.
I'm going to give you two movies. You tell me which one made more money in the U.S. box office. Are you ready, Drew?
Yes.
There we go. Let's blow through these. Number one, which made more? A Nightmare on Elm Street or Friday the 13th? And I'm talking about the originals.
Friday the 13th.
Nightmare on Elm Street made $25 million. Friday the 13th made $39 million. So you got that correct. Good job. Number two, here we go. Which made more? Paranormal Activity or Saw?
Saw.
Paranormal Activity made $107 million, while Saw made $55 million.
The second you said 107, I was like, Saw did not make that kind of money.
That's a lot of money. Number three, which made more, Jeepers Creepers or The Hills Have Eyes?
Jeepers Creepers.
Jeepers Creepers made $37 million, the U.S. box office. The Hills Have Eyes made $41 million. Only a few million more, but there you go. That's another one that's wrong. Number four, Gremlins or Gremlins 2, The New Batch.
Ooh. I really hope it's Gremlins.
Is that your answer?
Yeah.
Gremlins made $153 million at the U.S. box office. Gremlins 2, The New Batch made $41 million. So there you go. Good job. Got that one right here. 2-2 so far. Number five, which made more, Critters or Slither?
Slither.
Slither made $7.8 million. Critters made $13 million. So here we go. Out of the first five, you're 2-3 so far. 2-3 in the first five. So here we go. You ready?
Yeah.
Which made more money at the U.S. box office? Texas Chainsaw 3D. That was the most recent one that just came out this year. Or My Bloody Valentine 3D.
My Bloody Valentine.
Texas Chainsaw made $34 million. My Bloody Valentine made $51 million. Good job there, dude. Nice work. Number two of the second set. Here we go. What was that, seven? Which made more, The Ring, the U.S. remake, or Dawn of the Dead, the remake?
The Ring.
The Ring made $129 million. Dawn of the Dead made $59 million. So you got that right. Good job. Which made more money at the box office, Paranormal Activity 4 or Saw 4?
Paranormal Activity 4.
Paranormal Activity 4 made $53 million. Saw 4 made $63 million. Oh, it flip-flopped on you there, dude.
Flip-flipped.
Which made more at the box office, Season of the Witch, starring Nicolas Cage, or The Wicker Man, starring Nicolas Cage?
The Wicker Man.
Season of the Witch made $24 million. The Wicker Man made $23
million. Oh, I hate you.
Isn't that crazy how close that was?
They're both very bad movies.
And finally, which made more, The Conjuring, which came out this year, or The Exorcist?
The Conjuring.
The Conjuring made $137 million. The Exorcist made $193 million. Holy cow,
and
that's a lot of money.
That's old school money, too.
That's old school money. Also, a little bit of re-release money in there, too.
No.
To be perfectly honest. So, there you go. You got that one wrong. So, we got one, two, and three. So, you are overall 4-6.
That was not good.
Not good. Hey, whatever. So that was your Halloween-y edition of Drew Cockburn vs. the World.
Stop saying Halloween-y. Stop it. It hurts my ears and my brain.
Back to the article about Netflix getting into original movies. This article also points out that the company said Orange is the New Black, which you haven't watched yet.
Nope.
I haven't watched it yet. Will end the year as its most watched original series ever.
Wow, maybe we should watch this.
Might have to give it a shot. Shows expected to premiere on Netflix in 2014 include Sense8, which is from Matrix creators the Wachowskis.
Ooh.
There's going to be new shows produced by DreamWorks Animation and a new thriller from the creators of Damages, which is in a deal with Sony Pictures Television. You ever see Damages?
Nope.
SVK has been pushing Damages for a while.
Been close?
He really likes that show. I think it's just because it's a law type show. He likes that. And also NFL has reportedly been in talks with Google and Netflix about a football package.
Ooh, streaming football?
Yeah, but then the thing is, the Netflix guy here that they're talking to says, quote, we're still not interested in sports. What we bring to the table is a lot of improvement because of all the attributes of on-demand, and I don't think that brings much to sports viewing. So they're trying to work something out, but it might not. They're not making that a priority. It's like they're going to be making movies, starting with documentaries, and doubling down on making TV sort of TV shows. They're trying to turn themselves into their own network.
I tell you.
And then they had that whole Comcast thing that they're trying to work out. So I thought I had something else in here.
Maybe they'll buy out Comcast.
They're not going to buy out Comcast, but they want to be like available on the box somehow for like $10 a month. It's, you know, like Apple TV or stuff like that, where you get apps on your TV. They want to do something or get the app on the on their box. So there you go. That's Netflix trying to be the next,
hooray Netflix,
trying to be the next big dogs on the block. I only got a couple stories here. Let's see. Theater will ignore NC-17 rating.
Sweet.
There's a movie, French film, called Blue is the Warmest Color.
Mm-hmm.
It's a 3-hour coming-of-age sexual awakening movie.
What?
French film about a 15-year-old girl who gets into a relationship with a slightly older woman.
Uh-huh.
I don't know how much older. And then it's all about just their relationship. And, you know, and it's supposed to be some epic story.
Sweet.
A small character movie, but an epically told. It won awards. It had made a big hoopla at all the festivals this past summer. So it's supposed to be quite good.
Probably quite graphic as well, well obviously.
That's the thing. It is NC-17. Let's just jump into the choice bits of this article here. Blue is the Warmest Color, which won the Palme d'Or at Cannes.
Cannes.
So, I mean, there you go. That's a big award. It won the top award at the Cannes Film Festival. It has received a lot of attention for its extended and explicit lesbian sex scenes. The film about a French teenager's relationship with a slightly older woman is opening in New York and LA on Friday with an unsurprising NC-17 rating. The MPAA, obviously, they give out the ratings. And according to the association's website, it reserves NC-17 for a film that most parents would consider patently too adult for their children 17 and under. Blue is the Warmest Color would fit that bill with roughly 15 minutes of its 3-hour runtime devoted to the strenuous, nothing left to the imagination simulated couplings of its lead actresses. So the recommendations to theater managers is unambiguous, quote, no children will be admitted.
Yeah, there we go.
Now, the whole NC-17 thing, rated R, all that stuff, none of that's upheld by any law. There's no legality behind that stuff.
Yeah.
All right. The MPAA suggested these ratings. The movie industry agreed to abide by this whole self-censorship thing, and this is to keep the government out of
movies.
Out of the movie industry. They will regulate ourselves. Stay out. You know? The government did try regulating for a while with the Hays Code and all that stuff, and, you know, screw that. Screw that. What is this? This isn't the UK.
No.
Sorry, UK listeners. Love you guys. But you guys got the British board and, you know, what socialist nightmare over there.
Seriously.
Over here, we self-regulate, and this stuff is not legally enforceable. Obviously, theater managers, they won't let children in because, you know, I mean, it's what they feel they should be doing. Are they afraid of getting sued? But I don't know. There's one theater, the IFC Center in Greenwich Village. It's a really small theater. It has like 2 screens. Actually, that's where I saw the Che double feature in New York City back in, what, like 08 or something. IFC Center in Greenwich Village will not turn away curious youngsters. In an emailed statement, the senior vice president and general manager of the IFC Center wrote, "This is not a movie for young children, but it is our judgment that it is not inappropriate for mature, inquiring teenagers who are looking ahead to the emotional challenges and opportunities that adulthood holds." He announced that high school age patrons would be admitted.
Well, I mean, if the story's about a 15-year-old girl, I mean,
it's more for them. They'll probably get more out of it than 40, 50-year-old film critics.
Yeah.
And, you know, stuffy people like that, right?
Exactly.
Meanwhile, in France, Blue is the Warmest Color has a 12 rating.
Which means...
it means anyone over that age is permitted to attend.
Oh, nice.
This is the second least restrictive classification, roughly equivalent to PG-13.
All right.
So the French are already very like,
it's cool, whatever, 2 chicks doing all this stuff, we don't care.
Whatever, if you know, if our camera's gonna focus and linger on this stuff, and it gets kind of... Anyway, interested in seeing the movie, not just for the lesbian sex scenes, but for everything around it, because if it was just lesbian sex scenes that this movie was known for...
You can see that for free on the internet.
And, yeah, you can see it for free on the internet, and people wouldn't care, because if the movie sucks, they'd be like, well, whatever, it's just trying to be audacious. But it's supposed to be a quite good film.
Awesome.
So...
maybe we'll show up at the Enzion.
Maybe it will. And maybe the Enzion will let some high school kids in there.
Nah, maybe not.
We should get an official statement from the Enzion Theater. How will they handle the NC-17 rating for the use of women's color? I mean, we got a sip of beer here, and we'll be the next story. Vamp, true vamp.
Vamp? I don't understand what that word means. I don't get it. What does that mean? Can you give me the definition of the word, please? Can you use it in a sentence?
Yeah, sure, no problem. While I drink this beer quietly off mic, can you please talk and fill the air with words so that there's no gap in there?
Nice, that worked out quite well.
So thank you, Drew.
You're welcome,
appreciate it. And finally, I got this off of, Slash Film.
Slash.
Slash Film.
Is that like the guitarist Slash?
Yeah, but not. Slash Film. Australian Titanic enthusiast plans to one-up James Cameron with new film.
What? How can you one-up James Cameron?
Oh, here we go. Clive Palmer. Have you heard of this guy?
No.
He's an Australian billionaire. So.
Okay,
imagine Australian billionaire.
Yeah, yeah.
Those guys are really crazy. Last year announced his plans to build a full-size working Titanic replica. Have you heard that story?
Is he going to build it to the specifications of the old one?
It's a replica.
He needs to not do that because...
Oh, yeah, the hold, all the stuff in the hold.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I'm sure they'll fix that stuff. Okay. Now, aesthetically, it's going to look the same.
Okay.
But I'm sure underneath, it's going to be all the... It's going to be the modern, actual build that's going to work, and that's it. Not going to work. Because Titanic 2, they're doing it. The guy says he already has reservations for people to take the first voyage.
Yeah.
It's going to go across, I guess, the Atlantic or whatever. I don't know where it's going. I think it's staying away from icebergs for its first go-around.
For their sake. It'll probably get caught in a typhoon or something.
Well, this guy's solely making a working Titanic replica. And also, there was a report that this guy Palmer was talking to sheep cloning scientists with the idea of building his own Jurassic Park. Now, Palmer, this guy, he's denied the Jurassic Park reports, but who knows? I mean,
he's a crazy billionaire.
It's ready to be revealed.
When you have $1 billion, I'm pretty sure you can do whatever the hell you want.
You get pretty bored. You start doing things like this. Palmer says he's going to make 2 Titanic films. One will be a documentary about building the ship, which, you know.
No, yeah, that I will watch.
That makes sense, right? The other is a dramatic film that he claims, quote, should be a lot better movie than Cameron's Titanic.
He realizes that movie made...
He knows exactly what it is.
A bunch of money and critical acclaim.
He's calling it out. He's calling them out.
He's got some balls.
Right? The Herald Sun in Australia reports... Palmer's intentions, and quoting him as saying, the film will be about its first voyage and some of the things that happen on it. It's a fictional movie, but we're also doing a documentary about the building of Titanic 2 at the moment. There's film crews working on that. Palmer says the story, like Cameron's film, will have, quote, some love in it, but that it should be a lot better movie than that. Take that, James Cameron. This guy's like, fuck you and your movie with Leo DiCaprio and all your awards and all your money. Screw that shit. I'm making a good Titanic movie.
And I'm building the book for reals.
And I'm also building the book for reals, and then we're going to sail on it, and people are going to pay me money, and in the end, I'm going to make money on this thing.
And they're all going to die.
That's something, huh?
It's going to crash and burn.
We'll see. Hopefully, all that film will be saved. And there we go. So that's your movie news. Got a few questions here. Let's do these questions, and then we'll get out of here. At Matt Celery on Twitter asked, am I wrong for thinking Friday the 13th is overrated and Jason is not scary?
Well, I mean, at this point in time, no. I don't think that you are, because, I mean, even the Jason people have started making fun of themselves. I mean, you've seen Jason X.
Jason X is ridiculous. That's, you know, I mean, he's like over 10 years old.
And it might as well be a satire.
It is. It is pretty much.
So.
Jason in space.
Yeah.
Mutant Jason in space.
Exactly.
With David Cronenberg as like a space scientist.
It's so weird. And even the Freddy versus Jason was absolutely ridiculous.
That was more satirical than anything. Yeah, when he's in the cornfield or whatever at the rave and he's cutting up teenagers. Apparently, Jason Voorhees has the highest kill rate of any movie character.
Awesome.
Yeah.
Good for Jason.
It's him, and then like in a distant second is
Rambo.
No, I think Michael Myers. Or... No, Freddy. Yeah, I think, you know, movies are a little overrated. If you go back and actually watch them, they're stinky horror movies with, you know, some good kills in them and some gore.
Yeah, and they're really campy.
Jason's not even the killer in the first movie.
Nope.
It's his mom or something like that, right?
Correct.
And he has, like, a bag on his head.
Yep, he's just got a bag with one eye hole.
And then the remake that they did was, like, the first three or four movies combined into one movie.
Yeah.
What a bunch of fucking shit that weird. Is. What a bunch of garbage. So, no, I don't think... I think it's cool. You can think all that stuff's overrated and Jason isn't scary. Jason's not that scary.
No, he's not. He's just a... He's basically a semi-conscious zombie with a machete.
I mean, if I walk up on any... Mask. If I walk up on any giant dude with a machete and a mask, yeah, I'd be a little frightened. Cinematically? Whatever. Mr. Nadathon asked on Twitter, what are your four favorite Heath Ledger performances and why? Four favorite Heath Ledger performances. All right, Drew, let's go through these together. There's the obvious performance.
The Joker.
Right.
Amazing.
I mean, that's got to be everyone's favorite, right? Obviously. It's very showy. It's fun to watch him. He looked like he was having a very interesting, good time doing it, right? You know?
Kind of a twisted time.
Twisted time.
But
so,
yeah.
So
he definitely looked like he was having fun, though.
So, yeah. So, yeah. So that one's awesome. His other more famous role outside of that is Brokeback Mountain.
Never saw it.
I saw some of it. He plays
a gay dude.
A
repressed gay cowboy.
A cowboy guy.
Good for him.
Yeah.
Congratulations.
Kind of talk like this. Yeah, kind of have an accent here. Because he was Australian.
Yeah.
No, just dead.
Correct.
Too soon?
No.
So there's that. There's Knight's Tale.
Not so bad.
There's 10 Things I Hate About You.
Don't necessarily remember that. I know 90s teen comedy drama something.
There's Ned Kelly with Orlando Bloom.
Now, I always see that on the Netflix, but I never click on it.
That's good. What other Heath Ledger movies are there? There's got to be more than that. If we're doing four favorites.
There's what?
Nate, you think there's that many Heath
Ledger
movies?
Isn't that the Imaginarium of...
Doctor
whatever, who's their face?
The Doctor Who's the What's It with the Faces of Death Inarium.
Yeah.
The Terry Gilliam movie, where he just played all the normal parts and the other guys, Johnny Depp and Jude Law, played the other parts.
Never saw it.
Never saw that movie. But, so there's that. There's Batman. There's Brokeback. There's... the other ones we talked about. What? Knight's Tale and Ned Kelly. What the hell else is there?
I'm checking.
For the good old Heath Ledgers. His last name is a book of accounting.
Is it?
Ledger, right?
Yes, you're right. It is.
Blah, blah, blah. Brokeback.
Candy. The Brothers Grimm. Did you ever see that?
Yeah, I heard it was awful.
It was. He was in The Lords of Dogtown.
Right.
The Order.
Oh, yeah, that movie.
The Four Feathers, Monster's Ball.
Monster's Ball, that's right. Monster's Ball, he's a creepy jail.
The Patriot.
Patriot, that's right, Mel Gibson. Yeah. Roland Emmerich's Patriot, okay.
Yeah. 10 Things I Hate About You, Pause, and he was on television and more television.
Okay, top four, here we go. Joker.
Yeah.
Patriot?
Yeah, sure, why not?
And then Brokeback? Because he had to kiss Jake Gyllenhaal one time.
Yeah, and then after that, it's really just pick your...
That's work.
Pick your poison.
I'd say Ned Kelly, because that's pretty good. So there you go. Right?
Right.
Feel pretty good about that?
Yeah.
About those four?
Yeah.
All right. Top four Heath Ledgers. There you go. And at Sean of the Rant... If you want to follow him, that's S-H-A-U-N. That kind of Sean. It's one of those Seans.
Sean.
Sean of the Rant asked, villain or anti-hero that deserves a spinoff. Does not have to be comic book related. Any bad guys you want to see with their own movie, their own side thing going on, their own gig?
I mean, I wouldn't mind seeing like a Magneto movie with just Magneto.
Oh, yeah, they were working on that for a little while. You know, they're going to do an X-Men Origins Magneto.
It would be awesome.
But that fell through because Wolverine, X-Men Origins Wolverine made so little money.
It's terrible.
It is terrible. It's awful. And then the first 10-15 minutes of First Class is pretty much X-Men Origins Magneto.
Yeah, for the most part.
That whole, it was gonna be, the origin movie was going to be about that, about him going around hunting down Nazis and developing his powers and shit like that before he meets any other, like, Professor X or any other guy like that.
Well, and then they kind of hit all those points.
Hit all those points in the first act of First Class.
Yeah.
So that movie has now been rendered.
I mean, a Deadpool movie done right would be awesome.
Ryan Reynolds would want to make a Deadpool movie for a while.
Done right, though. Not X-Men Origin style.
Yeah, I don't even think it's happened.
That was so terrible.
Oh, that treatment of Deadpool and that.
Yeah.
That was pretty bad.
It was god awful.
I would like to see a movie about a bad guy. It doesn't have to be comic book related. I don't know. See, the thing is, the cool thing about bad guys is oftentimes they're mysterious. You don't really know their backstory too much.
Yeah.
They're a force that shows up and just fucks shit up.
Correct.
The more you know about them, the least interesting they are.
Yeah.
You know? I'd hate to see an Agent Smith movie.
Yeah.
Right?
That would suck.
You know, but for some reason, I do keep going back to comic books. I would be interested in a crazy Lobo space bounty hunter movie.
Dude, Lobo would be... That would be a great movie.
That would be interesting, right?
Yeah.
That'd be cool.
I mean, yeah, just think of a space bounty hunter, just throw Lobo into it. So he's running around that space motorcycle, breathing all that space air somehow.
Space air. Breathing space air.
He's got to be breathing something.
Man, I can't think of any other. Can you think of any other good?
I mean, I would love to see
bad guys?
Another
Biff Tannen.
I mean, another awesome Punisher movie, like Punisher Warzone. That was pretty fun. I wouldn't mind seeing another one of those.
Yeah, Marvel's trying to figure out what to do with Punisher. Because I think the rights were reverted back to him. Yeah, they have the rights to the Punisher. Carnage.
He was always fun.
Or
but
Venom.
It's. I mean, I would love to see a better treatment of Venom.
Oh, yeah, for sure. Everyone would.
That would be fun.
One that doesn't involve Topher Grace.
Yeah.
Ugh.
Like, at all.
The heck was that all about?
Like how he
the heck was that all
he
about?
He shouldn't be anywhere near the project.
I would have liked to have seen that fabled Pulp Fiction Vega Brothers movie.
That would be fun.
Yeah. With the, you know, obviously what happened years ago
with
John Travolta and Michael Madsen.
Yeah. That would have been fun.
That would have been cool.
Yeah.
But alas.
Never gonna happen.
They're both old and fat.
Yeah.
Travolta has no hair. Then he has a goozle. And Michael Madsen has awful eye surgery that makes his face weird to look at. Sorry, guys, but it's true.
Yeah.
That would have been a great movie.
Poor Madsen.
Maybe in 10 years... No, because Quentin said he's going to stop. Maybe his last movie will be his Kill Bill sequel, where it's the girl coming back for revenge, the daughter of Vivica A. Fox's character, grown up, coming for revenge.
Sweet, against an old-ass Uma Thurman.
Yeah. Well, she'll be an old master. She'll have a big, long, white mustache. Alright, so there you go. That's your question. Something from Billy D this week. I don't know if I mentioned last week. Did I open the floor to Billy D last week?
I don't know.
I thought I can't remember if I did. I meant to. He doesn't just have to. From that, Billy D is like the official, unofficial third member. Unofficial, official.
Wow. Official.
He's our New York City senior correspondent, is what he is. And Halloween movie, horror movie expert.
Yes.
For sure. He's our go to guy for that.
And if you need to know anything about metal, he knows a lot.
That helps him. Floor is open to him that he can. His emails don't have to be a question. It can be whatever he wants. If he has a statement to release to the people or an opinion he wants to get out there.
From the desk of Billy D.
Yeah, we can do from the desk of Billy D type stuff. So, Billy, floor is open for that, dude. Just so you know. Let's wrap the show up with this. I took a survey. I was taking a survey on Twitter most of the week. If you follow me on Twitter at IamChrisCrespo, you may have noticed that I've been asking often. What is your go-to Halloween movie?
Yes.
Favorite Halloween films?
Uh-huh.
Drew, do you have any, like, kind of, what movie would be your go-to? It's Halloween time, you have time to watch kind of a scary movie. What would it be like?
I mean, I'm not really into scary movies, really. I mean, I'm always a big fan of the Charlie Brown Halloween.
Okay.
The Great Pumpkin.
Yeah,
you know?
Yeah, absolutely.
Always fun to do.
Absolutely.
I mean, other than that, that's really it.
The Thing is my, like, go-to. That's it. Like, I watch things. Speaking of which, I gotta
Watch The Thing soon.
Yeah, 3 days, gotta watch The Thing. I put this out there a bunch of times, and I got something like, I counted this, and I already forgot, though. I got something like 50 responses.
Sweet.
And, like, 44 different movies.
Awesome.
Very few repeats. So, leading the way... 2013 Halloween survey, people's favorite Halloween type movies, leading the way with 6 different movies that got 2 votes. Got repeated twice. The original Nightmare on Elm Street.
Okay.
The first one.
Yeah.
Hocus Pocus.
Really?
Yeah. Strange, right? Huh? The Fly.
Okay.
The remake one with Jeff Goldblum. Either the entire or part of Friday the 13th series.
Okay.
One person said the whole series, and one person was like specifically 4 through
whatever,
6 or something. The Exorcist.
Always fun.
Right, got 2 votes. And Drag Me to Hell got 2 votes.
I enjoyed Drag Me to Hell.
Otherwise, people, here, I'm going to just run through this list here. Let's see what people say.
Right.
Legend of Sleepy Hollow, right? Halloween, right? Session 9, you ever see that one?
I don't think so.
It's pretty good. It's on the Netflix instant. Ernest Scared Stupid.
Yeah.
One person said that one.
Was that you?
No. I said the thing. One person did say It's a Great Pumpkin, Charlie Brown.
It's a good one.
So if you voted for that, it's 2 votes for that. Candyman.
Oh, Candyman.
Demon Knight. Tales of the Crypt.
Demon Knight. Okay.
Yeah. This one I don't know. The Halloween Tree?
Nope. Got nothing.
Don't know that. Video of Drew's birth. Hey, how'd that get in
there? That would be probably pretty scary.
Actually, that was Billy Dean's vote was.
Nice. Video of my birth. I'm pretty sure, yeah, that would be damn scary.
Not Colin, the senior correspondent.
No.
Zinger from New York City. From Bushwickville.
Zoom.
Hashtag Bushwickville. Remember the Titans.
Yeah, that's scary.
Is there Halloween stuff in Remember the Titans? The football movie? Young Frankenstein. The Sixth Sense. The Thing, which is what I said. The original Fly. So I'm voting for that one. Pirates of the Caribbean. It's a ghost story about zombie pirates.
Yeah, no, it is.
Birdemic, Shock and Horror.
What?
You ever see that Birdemic
movie?
It's one that's really bad.
Yeah, yeah.
Really
like
bad.
Sharknado?
Sort of like that, yeah. High Tension. A French movie.
What about Low Tension?
Nope, just High Tension. Haute Tension, actually. It's French.
Haute
Tension. Cabin in the Woods. Only 1 vote for that.
Oh, that's a fun one.
Should have been more votes for that. Cujo. Reanimator. Evil Dead 2. Someone actually said Halloween 3.
Interesting.
Yeah, that movie's horrible.
Yeah, it was god-awful.
The Descent.
Yeah.
That one?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. With the weird, crazy cave people.
Nightmare Before Christmas is a good one. That's a good Halloween movie to watch.
It is a good Christmas movie.
It's fun for both of them. The original F.W. Murnau's Nosferatu, the silent movie from the 30s. From Dusk Till Dawn.
That was a fun one.
Army of Darkness, which is Evil Dead 3. Pontypool, which is a Canadian horror movie, and it's kind of a weird one.
Okay.
And finally, John Carpenter's Prince of Darkness.
Ah, yes.
So got some John Carpenter in there a couple times. There you go. That was the 2013 Halloween survey. Not very many multiple choices. Next time, I'm going to have to ask for like people's top 3 or top 5 to get more feedback. But there you go. That's that. That brings us to the end of the show. And it's just, dude, I do have a... lightning round here. I didn't know if we were gonna have a guest or not. And why go to waste? Why should this lightning round go to waste? So, Drew.
Yes, sir.
You ready to do a quick lightning round?
Sure, why not?
You got the timer there?
Yes, sir.
All right,
and
start the clock.
Go.
Number 1. Who does number 2 work for?
Number 3.
Number 2. What is your favorite candy bar?
Hershey's.
Number 3. Where in time is Carmen Sandiego?
2013.
Number 4. When is the world going to end?
Tomorrow.
Number five, how did the world begin?
Big Bang.
Number six, the best Halloween costume for 2013 will be...
your mom.
Number seven, true or false, the Miami Dolphins won Super Bowl VI.
False.
Number eight, Garfield or Heathcliff?
Heathcliff.
Number nine, stand-up comedy or sit-down drama?
Stand-up comedy.
And number 10, think of a color.
Okay.
Got it?
Yes.
Is it green?
No.
Nah. Oh. What color was it?
Blue.
Ah, should have added some yellow to that, dude.
Close.
You would have had green. True or false, Miami Dolphins won Super Bowl VI. You said false. The answer is false. They won Super Bowl VII. Super Bowl VII.
Yes.
Number 8, Garfield or Heathcliff? You said Heathcliff. That's incorrect, dude. It's Garfield.
No, the answer is Heathcliff.
The answer is Garfield.
No, Heathcliff.
No, Garfield.
Heathcliff.
No. Nuss.
Yes. Yes.
Garfield.
Heathcliff.
Garfield.
Heathcliff.
Garfield.
Heathcliff.
Garfield.
Heathcliff.
Garfield.
Heathcliff.
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 Damn it.
Yeah, nope, didn't work.
Settle this on Twitter for us, why don't you people? Let us know. Tweet us at I am Chris Crespo or at antihero419. Tweet us both with hashtag Garfield or Heathcliff. Heathcliff. Let us know who you vote for. I say Garfield.
Heathcliff.
You couldn't be more wrong.
No, you couldn't be more wrong, sir.
Number nine, stand-up comedy or sit-down drama. You said stand-up comedy. That's correct. Sit-down. Stand-up comedy. No one cares for sit-down drama. So there you go. That's the end of episode 42 of Cinema Crespo. So, Drew Sagagbert.
Heathcliff.
Oh, yeah. All right. So there you go. That's Drew's final word. Is that your final word? Is that it? Heathcliff, you're done. Mouth sealed. His mouth sealed. He's done. So there you go. Thanks for listening, guys. We really appreciate it. Make sure you tell your friends. Help spread the word. That's the only way the show can get bigger and better is if more people get involved. So you can tweet us at Crespodiso. Send us emails at cinemacrespodiso@gmail.com. We better see you at the Halloween SBK Live Bash October 31st at the Why Not Lounge. We'll recap that next week, right? I'm sure. We'll be having some sort of Halloween-related costume. It's going to be fun. Looking forward to it. Garfield.